The American dream has become a night.
Hello and welcome back to our show here. It's hour number two here of the John Stadmiller Show. And John, as I mentioned before, is out under the weather today. And we all wish him get well quick. And he'll be back at the microphone probably tomorrow. My name is Michael Rivero, and I'm taking the microphone for the remainder of the show today. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff that's going on about the wars, whether they're in Syria, Libya, Yemen, the war by the corporate media against we here in the independent media. And one thing I think is pretty obvious to everybody, as interesting as 2016 was, 2017 is going to be a year of dramatic changes. And something that you might want to remember, everyone talks about revolutions. They don't have to be in the streets. And I think the revolution is already underway. And it's a virtual revolution. It's taking place on the internet, which is good because it means ordinary people can go about their business without risk of flying bullets and debris. But it is a revolution because the old establishment is on the wane and something new and exciting is rising to take its place. Now, we are getting the usual holiday booga booga alert here. And supposedly on the basis of a message posted to a terror organization social media group, which can be started by anybody, ISIS has a list of U.S. churches it plans to attack over the holidays. So don't you relax and have a Christmas holiday cheer. You need to stay afraid. You need to be scared out of your mind so you'll do what the government tells you to do here. We're going to take a phone call. Fred in Pennsylvania, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, I tuned in, and I might be wrong, but I'm just wondering, when you mentioned the appeal to Lavrov, the Russian official, didn't we have a gentleman named Lavrov that was killed?
No, that confusing that with the Russian ambassador to Turkey. Lavrov is Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov.
Okay. I'm a supporter. I think that what you just said is correct about people participating online to contradict the established, the political establishment. But I don't know that the net result is going to be something that we're going to be pleased with. I think it's going to be a blend, sort of like an ugly blend of different things, including a lot of totalitarianism that just won't go away, no matter what you do.
Well, the parallel I like to use is the collapse of the Soviet Union. And we're basically on the same path here right now. The Soviet Union reached a point where the Soviet citizens as a whole began to comprehend that they were being lied to by the Soviet government and by their controlled media, Pravda and Izvestia. And so the Soviet people set up this ad hoc network to communicate with each other. They created a citizens' diverse, distributed media system, all on fax machines called the Samizdat. And they were just writing articles the way we do our blog posts, and they put them in the fax machine, send them to 10 other fax machines, bucket brigading from one end of the Soviet Union to the other, until it finally reached a point where the Soviet people lost all trust and faith in the Soviet government, and the Soviet government fell. And they had to get through a rather difficult period while the Russian republics formed, but life under the Russian republics is a lot better and a lot more free than it was under the Soviet Union. And I foresee the same thing potentially happening here in the United States of America. Now, with Donald Trump assuming the White House, I hold out a possibility that we could, in fact, turn this country around 180 degrees and begin the long, slow trek back to a true constitutional republic with an honest, fair, and accurately elected democratic leadership. I'm not going to say it's a certainty, but I'm willing to roll the dice on this one. But if Trump fails to bring about significant change to our political and economic systems, then I see a Soviet Union-style collapse in our future, followed by a rise of a new American republics where life is going to be a lot better for ordinary people. And for the same reason that it is in the Russian Republic, we're going to start by kicking out those oligarchs.
Well, my reaction is that I do remember the Polish dissidents, the Polish underground, while there was a communist system, using means of communication that it was successful. The method does seem to be sound. I do think that does work if people do not get distracted by pleasures and bribes and lies that they're battling. They don't get distracted by those things.
The money junkies don't have enough money to bribe every American citizen into going back into our former servitude. That's kind of been the big problem. And we're not talking about any. We're not talking about any kind of an organized underground here. We're talking about a classic leaderless resistance. Those people in the Soviet Union who ran the Samizdat, there were no figureheads. There were no key people. It was this homogenous phenomenon of citizen-to-citizen, peer-to-peer communication. And that's what's happening here in the independent media. And that's why they can't get a handle on it. There isn't a single individual that they can grab and compromise to try and steer the rest of what's going on here.
Well, that says some to be true. I don't know when your decision on if Trump is worthy of further support, when that's going to be decided. I don't think. What about the fact that there has to be clean elections? There has to be no interference by this network election pool or national election pool.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And my top priority over on my radio show and my website for the next 2 years is going to be calling for an overhaul of this election system, which is designed to facilitate election fraud and then conceal it. And we need to go back to a system where fraud is discouraged and easily found. And I've already laid the groundwork for how that's going to come about. The difference here now is if you think back in Florida in 2000 and that debacle there and all the dangling chads and all the rest of it, and the U.S. government promised that they were going to overhaul the election system, and they didn't do it. And the reason is very simple.
They didn't do it.
Fred, allow me to complete, please. The government didn't change the election system because everybody in power in the government was the beneficiary of that. Okay? Why does election fraud never prosper? Because if it prospers, none dare call it election fraud. Apologies to whoever it was I just paraphrased from. And that's really what's going on. But we've got an opportunity here because we have a president who was the victim of election fraud, was opposed by it. And he knows that in 4 years' time, he's going to be dealing with that again if the system is left exactly as it is. And so we have a sympathetic party in that Oval Office who's going to be open to saying, yeah, let's fix this thing now and have honest elections. And it can be done. I refuse to believe that the nation that put men on the moon is incapable of having an honest, verifiable, open election system. But our current system is designed to let the cheaters win and to help them get away with it. If you have not seen it, there's a wonderful documentary HBO put out called Hacking Democracy. And it focuses on the work of this wonderful lady, Bev Harris, who runs a website called blackboxvoting.org. And they talk about all the election fraud and how easy it is and how hard these electronic voting machine companies work to not let people see what's going on inside. And the documentary ends with a demonstration of just how easy it is to get these electronic voting machines to change the outcome of an election and leave no trace about it. So to get back honest elections, we need to crowdsource the counting. And the way to do that is really very simple. No more electronic machines. No more tabulation centers, because that's where the fraud takes place. Every precinct counts their own ballots in full view of all the voters and witnesses and representatives, and then those results are posted publicly. Then the city posts all of those totals for the precincts in the newspaper so that everybody can look at the newspaper and say, yes, that was the total that we recorded at our precinct. Then the state newspapers total up all the city totals, so everybody in the cities can look at the state newspaper and say, yes, that is the total that came out of my city. And then you keep on going up to the national level. So anybody with a calculator can confirm the election count for themselves. Everybody in America can verify that their precinct's totals are accurately reported all the way up to the very top. Coupled with that, we need to have a system like they have in the Middle East, where when you vote, you dip your finger into this bottle of blue dye. It takes about a week to fade away, and it shows you voted, and you're not allowed to vote again. And we have to bring back voter ID, because votefraud.org and truthevote.org are both estimating that at a minimum, 3 million non-citizens voted in this election, overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. We know that there were dead voters in this election. Up in Michigan, the recount exposed the fact that there were 37% more votes than voters in the districts that went to Hillary Clinton. So this situation is just absolutely untenable, and we need to change it. And for once, we have a president who's going to say, yeah, this has to be changed. Okay?
I know. I'm aware of these things. Of course, that has to be done with a constitutional amendment.
No, it doesn't.
Something that's going to be giving you those kinds of across the board things.
You don't need a constitutional amendment, because the current election systems are decided by the individual states. And it would be nice to adopt a national standard of how all this stuff is being done to end some of this confusion. But you don't need to have an amendment, which means you don't need the ratification. You just need a majority in Congress. Okay? All right. So we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call. And getting on back to the war zones, not too surprisingly, we are already starting to see the rhetoric crank up about the coming invasion of Iran, how they're nuclear cheaters, how they can't be trusted. We have to do bad things to them. Now, here's the reality. Iran has complied fully with all of the requirements of the P5+1 nuclear deal. The United States has not. They have not unfrozen Iran's money, and they're imposing new sanctions on Iran. And the attitude coming out of the U.S. government is, well, yes, okay, Iran complied with the P5+1, but they're still being defiant to us. Now, there's no international law making it a crime for one nation to be defiant towards another. This is just the U.S. trying to provoke Iran into doing something that can justify an invasion. But the reality is, Iran is not the nuclear cheat. The United States is, because under the terms of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which both the United States and Iran have signed and ratified, and Israel has not, I should point out, Iran is allowed to have nuclear power. They're allowed to have nuclear power. It is the U.S. that is in violation of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty by using the threat of military force to coerce Iran into surrendering its rights under that treaty signed and ratified by the United States of America. There's also a provision in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty where member nations are obligated to go into nations trying to build up their nuclear infrastructure and assist them in doing so. And if the concern had really been about the possibility of Iran building a bomb factory under their power station, there's no more effective way to deal with that than to go into Iran, say, we're here to help pour the foundations, lay the steelwork, do the plumbing, do the welding, help them set everything up, and then you know for a fact there's no bomb factory. But the agenda was never really about whether Iran was a threat to the world, because Iran has not launched a war of aggression against another country in over 200 years. The agenda is we want war with Iran. They reject private central banking. Israel wants them broken into little tiny pieces that are easy to bully and push around. And that's why they're still pushing for Iran. When Wesley Clark back in 2005 blew the whistle on this whole plan, that there was a grand U.S. policy to conquer or regime change all of the oil-producing nations of the Middle East and shackle their oil to the U.S. dollar to prop up foreign demand for U.S. dollars. You can't buy Mideast oil unless you got dollars to pay for it. That was the scam. And there's precious little other reason for anybody in the world to want the U.S. dollars. And it's called the petrodollar deal. and they're trying to prop it up with military force. And so Wesley Clark listed all these countries that were going to be invaded. Most of them have been invaded, ending with Iran in 2008. As you probably can see, we are way off the timetable, still struggling in Syria, about to lose there. That's going to derail the whole plan. And Iran is still not invaded. But we have these war hawks like John McCain out there saying, I don't care if they're playing by the rules. I want a war. I've worked for it. I deserve it. Your kids are going to die in it, but I'm going to enjoy watching from a distance. And they're still talking about provoking war with Russia. If not in Syria, it's not going to happen there, up in Ukraine. We are foolish to be looking at that. Our top leaders, military planners, are caught up in magic thinking. They're believing the sales brochures from our military-industrial complex. And the reality is that, just as was the case leading into World War II, the military-industrial complex is just grabbing huge amounts of money, and they're producing junk. With the model of a new Cold War, I mean, the old Cold War in the 1950s and 1960s, they got huge amounts of money from the American people to play with their toys and make these impressive-looking weapons, and they didn't really have to work all that well because everybody knew, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, they were never actually going to be used. They just sit there and look impressive. And we're back in that same mindset in the Pentagon. And we've been talking about the latest generation of American weapons, the most expensive weapons on Earth, and they are performing very poorly. The F-22 is still asphyxiating its pilot. It can't reach its design ceiling. The F-35, exploding engines, insulation in the fuel tank falling apart, can't fly in the fog, can't fly in the rain, can't fly in lightning. The helmet fire control visualization system still does not work. There's another 2 years to go before the software for the cannon is ready. And now they're finding out there's a problem with a bracket in the weapons bay coming loose during takeoff. That's what's been causing so many of these explosions. And the bracket is such an exotic piece of equipment, they're not able to build them rapidly enough to get them into all the planes quickly. We have the Independence-class littoral combat ships, chronic corrosion issues. The Freedom-class littoral combat ships, constant drivetrain problems. The Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier, they're now admitting, because of all the whiz-bang high-tech that isn't working, it may never actually be usable in a real shooting war. And then we have the stealth destroyer, the Zumwalt class. The Pentagon's buying three of those things. It turns out they're not as stealthy as they were supposed to be, especially in low-frequency radar. Its air defense capacity is inferior to that of the Arleigh Burks. The big artillery, the Iowa-class artillery that it was supposed to have, was taken out from the design. It doesn't have that. It's very unstable in a beam C, and it's got drivetrain problems. It literally ran aground crossing the Panama Canal. They're now being described as expensive technology demonstrators, but not much else. The F-35 program is expected to cost $1.45 trillion. If they cancel that, they could use that money to wipe out every single penny of the crippling student loan debt for every American and have money left over for a new fresh water system for the city of Flint, Michigan. But what the government spends its money on is what they really want. Forget what they tell you in the speeches about how much they care about you and how much they love you and how they really want to work for the benefit of the nation. No, if they're not spending the money on the infrastructure, if we're drinking toxic water out of the faucets, if our kids are graduating with no jobs, hopelessly in debt, and all of the money goes to weapons, then we have a government that's a war government. And that's going to be a big problem for Donald Trump to try and dismantle as he goes into the White House. Now, I've mentioned before, the ordinary people of Europe do not want a new world war. They understand it's going to be fought on their front lawns, and they have reason to not want to see that happen. I will elucidate after these words from our sponsors. Was there supposed to be music? Oh, there it is. We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that LimeScale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate LimeScale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
And welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the people of Europe, ordinary people of Europe, not the leadership, not the politicians, not the money junkies, not the war hawks, ordinary people of Europe like you and I, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, ordinary people just wanting to live their lives. They do not want a new world war because they understand, like the previous two big mistakes, much of it will be fought on their front lawns. And the world wars are still effectively current events for the people of Europe. Here in the United States, the last military battles we had on our soil was the Civil War. And they're all pretty much gone, except for a couple, monuments here and there and some carefully preserved battlefields that look more like golf courses. They're so carefully tended. That's our only connection to military bloodshed on our own soil. Europe is different. The scars are still there from both world wars. If you drive through France, the scars of those trenches from the trench warfare, those are still visible. You can even see them in Google Earth. Go around Europe, there are still places. I mean, the Maginot Line ruins are still there. The Nazi submarine bases are still taking up huge amounts of room in the harbors. They don't know what to do with them. They're too much work to take apart. Ruined fortifications. In some cities, there are still blocks that are simply boarded off because there's unexploded bombs in there. And they're just waiting for them to eventually go boom or rot away before they let anybody build in there. it's a real present memory. And to illustrate that, in the city of Augsburg, apparently a construction crew accidentally uncovered a 3.8-ton air bomb left over from World War II, unexploded. And they're literally evacuating that inner city, 50,000 people. And on Christmas Day, they're going to try and defuse this bomb. And I wish them a lot of luck, because 3.8 tons will cause a huge amount of damage if somebody makes a mistake. But that's the situation. For the people of Europe, it's a very real thing. It's not an abstraction that you see in travel guides or on TV shows. It's right there in front of them. The scars from the wars are part of their everyday experience. And that's why they are so opposed to this new world war, as we should all be. Now, let's talk a little bit about the economy, because things are getting very tumultuous. And I have to tell you, in all honesty, I actually feel sorry for Donald Trump, because in terms of the economy, he's just been promoted to captain of the Titanic after it's already hit that iceberg. This economy is in trouble. I don't know that Trump can do a thing about it. And of course, the Democrats will say it's all Donald Trump's fault when it comes apart. The corporate media is already out there saying, oh, the economy is great. Trump is inheriting a wonderful economy. We only have a 5% unemployment rate. That's a flat out lie. We have over 90 million legal American citizens willing and able to work who have not been able to find jobs for months, if not years. And the government simply says they don't count anymore. We only count as unemployed the people who lost their jobs last week. And that's how they get that low number. Now, the stock market's doing really, really good. But it doesn't really reflect the health of the American economy as a whole. For one thing, because of all the rigging going on, it is drastically overvalued, more so than it was on Black Thursday in 1929. And the fact is, all the money is concentrated up at the top. There's nothing recycling back down to the bottom for the working people to pump back into the economy. That's always the failing of fascism. The concentration of money at the top until the economy locks up. The U.S. has just sued Barclays for fraud over mortgage securities. It's yet another in a long line of all of these Wall Street hedge fund managers and bankers, and they're all being caught in rigging scandals and insider trading. The real economy of the United States of America has already ground to a halt. And the only thing that makes it look like there's still a working economy is all the fraud and criminality going on Wall Street. Everything else is frozen up. The Baltic Dry Index is at near record lows. Retailers are saying it's a horrible Christmas shopping season. We may see iconic stores like Macy's and Sears vanish next year. Going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And welcome back to our show here. And again, John Stadtmiller is under the weather today. I'm taking the microphone for him, and we all hope that he feels better and is back tomorrow here. We're talking about the economic news here right now. And Barack Obama, of course, is polishing his legacy. He's out here in Hawaii for his annual vacation. He's on the island of Oahu right now. I'm staying on this side of the island. He gets that side of the island. We never look at each other, and that makes both of us happy, I think. But in looking on back to all of his claims about the 10 million new jobs he created during the Obama era, and you find out it wasn't really that glorious, because a new study from Harvard and Princeton is saying 94% of the 10 million new jobs created during the Obama era were temporary positions. Short-term contracts, they didn't last. It's like when they were looking at the November numbers and saying, look at all these new jobs created. That's the seasonal hires for people in the shopping malls to push Christmas stuff at people. And come January, those people are going to be let go. The high-paying jobs, manufacturing, are still gone from America. They've been sent to some other part of the world. And I think Obama has not only done our nation a disservice for all his talk about being this, you know, the first black president of the United States, he's done a disservice to black people. It's going to be a very, very, very long time before another black candidate is going to be looked on favorably. Now, there's a story out here about why Social Security is doomed, coming out of shtfplan.com. And it's talking about how the birth rate in the United States is at the lowest level ever on record. Now, there are two aspects to this story that we need to consider. First of all is Social Security itself. When it was originally set up, the plan was you workers would pay in during your working lifetime. The government would manage and invest your money wisely, prudently. When you retired, you would be paid benefits out of your money. And it was your money. Didn't belong to the government. That was how it was supposed to work. But what happened is various congressmen looked at that Social Security fund as the source for pork barrel funding for their favorite projects. And they would borrow money from the Social Security fund for projects that was never paid back. And so almost immediately, the Social Security system was turned into a pyramid scheme. When the first generation of workers retired, the money being paid in by the second generation of workers was used to pay benefits to the first generation of workers. When the second generation workers retired, the money being paid in by the third generation workers was used to pay the second generation workers benefits and so forth, just carrying it on forward. And every year they had to have more and more people on Social Security in order to keep all these payments going because of the overlap between the generations. Well, now the birth rate has reversed dramatically. And as is the case with any pyramid, it's going to collapse. And it didn't help the fact that during Bill Clinton's term in office, he looted the Social Security fund cash buildup for the baby boomers and spent it as general revenues. That's where Bill Clinton got his magic federal budget surplus. You know, it's the economy, people. I did a really good job. We had a federal budget surplus. I did real good there. Pay no attention to the money over at Social Security. And again, it wasn't the government's money. It was your money. And Bill Clinton embezzled the retirement funds of working Americans to spend as general revenues. And he called it a loan. He called it a loan. But the government can't pay that loan back because Bill Clinton borrowed and spent that money during what were considered really good economic times in this country. And if you're borrowing money when the economy is good, under what circumstance can you ever pay that money back? So today we have Social Security is in crisis, and they're talking about cutting benefits. You know, you retirees, you're living too long. You should do the loyal, patriotic thing and go get turned into Soylent Green or something. Or raising Social Security taxes on the next generation of workers, except there aren't that many of them. Where even if they double, triple the Social Security tax, it won't cover the losses. It's a crisis. There's another factor, though, and that is the sudden reversal in birth rates. Now, certainly when the economy is very, very difficult, people who have that choice are going to say, I'd like to have a kid, we can't. Normally, when economy is driving a decline in the birth rate, it's a parabolic curve. As the economy worsens, gets really bad, really rabid, really bad. Okay? The birth rate decline in the United States has a sharp peak to it. And I think we may be seeing an overlapping factor, one that nobody really wants to look at. As you know, our government has a really bad habit. If there's a problem out there that they can sell you a solution for, it's a big deal. Human-caused global warming, pay a carbon tax. If there's a problem out there the government can't do a thing about, like the Fukushima meltdown, they basically ignore it. If they don't have some, if they can't use it to sell you something, it's not important. So I want to talk to you about one of the weird experiments in the field of genetic engineering, and it's called the Epicyte gene. Now, the Epicyte gene is a gene in a modified strain of corn. This was funded under a U.S. Department of Agriculture grant to produce this corn. And this corn, if you eat it with this Epicyte gene, it tricks you, your body, into producing antibodies to human sperm. In other words, if you're eating this corn, you are sterile and you cannot reproduce. Now, the Epicyte gene and patent have been sold to Monsanto. We don't know what for, but it's out there. Even worse, it was test grown in open air fields. Now, we know there have been already been problems where pollen from GM crops travels great distances and contaminates other plants. There are all these wheat farmers up in Oregon who were trying to export wheat to China, which has a no GMO policy. Their shipments were being refused, and ultimately they found out their fields had been contaminated with pollen from a non-approved strain of GMO wheat several states away. Monsanto's official position is if you have a 10-yard buffer zone, the pollen can't get in and get out. Really? Have you ever heard of bees that carry pollen? Have you ever heard of birds? The pollen sticks to them. Have you heard of the wind? And I note, in studying the decline in birth rates in the United States, it has hit most heavily in the Hispanic population, who are the highest per capita consumers of corn. If this epicyte gene has broken into the wild, and it's contaminating other species of corn, we are heading toward a situation where anybody eating corn will be unable to reproduce. Corn is a major staple around the world. We're talking at significant reduction of the population, possibly an extinction-level event. And the problem I have with all of this is the sheer recklessness with which this technology is being experimented with and sold and deployed. And genetic engineering is the most dangerous technology humans have ever tinkered with. It's even far worse than nuclear energy, because you're tinkering with the code of life. If you have a problem with a reactor like Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima, you cover it over, and there's a place you shouldn't go for the next 1,000 years, and that's the end of it. You make a mistake in a gene, and it goes wild, it will be everywhere on Earth, eventually. And that's the problem. And we have seen American companies just behave very recklessly with their products. There was that scandal years ago where Bayer was marketing a medicine for hemophiliacs that was tainted with the AIDS virus. And when they were told they couldn't sell it anymore in the United States of America, instead of destroying the tainted medication, they simply sold it to other countries that didn't have legal protections. We know there are chemicals added to our food by corporations that are not healthy. We know that there are medications that actually cause more harm than good, all in the name of a fast buck. And for them to be playing with the code of life, looking for a profit opportunity, it's only a matter of time before there's going to be a significant disaster. And it needs to be brought under better control. The problem we have had with the U.S. government for decades now is that all of these agencies funded by our tax dollars that we are told are looking out for our best interests are in fact acting as agents for the corporations. A good example would be the Minerals Management Service, which knew the manual blowout preventer on the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig was 4 years overdue for required maintenance, did nothing about it. We had that disaster. The Securities Exchange Commission knew Bernie Madoff was cheating his investors for 12 years. Harry Markopoulos kept going on in with all the evidence gift-wrapped on a silver platter. And the SEC investigators walked on over. They didn't investigate. They handed Bernie Madoff their resumes. They wanted in on the game. And that is a hallmark of fascism. We're not a capitalist country anymore. Fascism is a system in which government power and corporate interests are aligned together against the general population. And that's not my definition. That's Benito Mussolini, who we all know won the Olympic gold medal for being a fascist idiot. In fact, Mussolini said fascism should more properly be called corporatism because of that alignment of government and corporations against the general public. Something to keep in mind when you hear about how they want to ban GMO labeling. You're not supposed to know. We can't sell this GMO stuff to anybody else on Earth, so we're just going to sell it to you, and you don't need to know about it. Until your kids start growing extra hands out of the top of their heads or something. Right now, there is a record number of young Americans living with their parents. It's the highest level since the end of World War II. It's almost as high as the end of the Great Depression of the 1930s. The jobs are simply not out there. We don't have a good economy. It's in serious, serious trouble. I don't know that Trump's going to be able to fix it. I know a lot of people are suggesting some very draconian steps. Certainly, you know, privatizing the Federal Reserve or banning it outright would be a good start. Because the problem with all these nations, United States, Europe, are those private central banks that issue all the public currency as a loan at interest. And by design, produce more debt than money with which to pay that debt in order to permanently trap the nation and its people into debt slavery. Those bankers know that piece of ink and paper is utterly worthless. The item of value is your imposed sense of obligation to them because of that debt. It's rule by bank debt. And it's no more legitimate a form of governance than rule by divine right or rule by slavery. And like those former failed systems, it only perpetuates as long as you allow yourself to be brainwashed into thinking this is the way life has to be. And it isn't. We all need to become private central banking heretics. This nation started without a private central bank. And the private central bankers hated us for it. Literally started a war trying to get us back onto private central banking. Private central bankers have assassinated leaders who oppose them. Andrew Jackson shut down the Second Bank of the United States, immediate attempt on his life. Abraham Lincoln issued the greenbacks to free America from banker debt. He was killed. John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, issuing a debt-free currency for Americans to use. He was assassinated, and they blamed it on crazed loan nuts in bookstores or disgruntled actor. There's a very dark history of the United States all tangled up with this agenda of keeping us debt slaves to private central banks, and they've been playing this scam on the human race for 300 years. It has made them immensely wealthy. And it's time for it to stop. Now, the good news is, up until now, any time a nation enslaved to a private central bank collapsed from that accumulated debt, the other nations enslaved to private central banks would throw a bunch of money in to restart the system and start the game all over again. But today, because of globalism, all these banks are now linked together. And when it goes down, it's all going to go down together. And it will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the people of planet Earth to stand up and say, no more private central banks. We demand a public currency managed as a public utility. We want to go back to the system the United States started with because that system worked for the nation and its people, not for the private bankers. And we need to get back there. We're seeing the effects of this economic predation and enslavement all across Europe, all across our country, all across the globe. I think there are only three nations on Earth left not enslaved to private central banks. Iran is one of them. That's one of the reasons they're ramping up again. We've got to smash Iran and make them accept private central banking. That whole New World Order is about establishing a single fascist economic dictatorship over planet Earth, enslaving us all to a single global private central bank to hold us all as debt slaves until the sun finally swells up and burns the planet to a crisp. That's what the New World Order is all about. Taking away choice, taking away freedom. You can't move to another country. There are no other countries. You can't go with another economy. There is no other economy. You can't go to a different bank. There's only one bank. Dependency is slavery. That's what King George III tried to do to the American colonies. That's what our political elite and the money junkies are trying to do to us right now. And we need to be aware that is their game. So, now then, we're coming up on a commercial break and the last segment of our program here today. And I'm probably, I want to do a little talk here about something. I'm getting a little fed up with all this screeching and crying and carrying on about nativity scenes. And it's kind of amazing. Over in Massachusetts, even though they've got a menorah in front of the state house, lawyers are out there screaming, you can't have a nativity scene. It's illegal. It's a religious display. You can't have that. What about the menorah? Well, that's different. There's a loophole. We're special with the menorah. And I have an observation about that that I want to share with you when we come back from this last commercial break.
Your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this is Jimmy from Zipa. I want to talk to you about something that really bothers me, snoring abuse. It's a real thing. You hear me? Abuse. And it's abuse that's been going untouched for far too long. Guess what? I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch it like crazy. Wake it up and make it a known thing here. Snoring abuse is not a victimless crime. You go ahead and you snore, you're hurting others because you're taking away from their very important thing called sleep. People need their sleep so that they can function. You hear me? There's millions of people that are snoring night after night, and they're not doing anything about that. And if you're the one who's snoring, you better go to Zipa.com and get this fixed immediately. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. You need to stop snoring abuse now. What about your children? They're not getting any sleep because you're snoring? Unacceptable. Order now. Go to Zipa.com. That's ZYPPAH.com. That's Happy Z spelled backwards.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor and he agrees with me.
And welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today here, and I want to finish up on this issue. We're seeing, and I think this is a good thing, a pushback against all this nonsense about you can't have a nativity scene here, blah, blah, blah. And it's always amazing because there'll be a menorah, but then they say, oh, you can't have a nativity scene. It's a violation of the law. And, of course, they had to cancel the nativity scene in Washington, D.C. The place is full of jackasses, but they couldn't find three wise men or a virgin. But we're seeing all these other towns all across America, New Mexico, Colorado, and they're out there and they're standing their ground and saying, we're going to have a nativity scene and we don't care what lawyers are out there threatening to us. Now, here is my perspective on this, and I'm going to preface this by saying I myself am not a religious person. Okay? Now, the First Amendment to the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting an institution of religion. Now, I have a news flash to all the whiners out there. A nativity scene, or for that matter, a menorah, is not a law. It is a decoration. And on that basis, I don't have a problem with a nativity scene on government property, other than it is a reminder that those are the people we are bombing to steal their oil. I do draw the line at the Ten Commandments being on display in government buildings with its prohibitions against lying, theft, and killing, because that clearly is a case of false advertising. Now, I know that Jewish lawyers are always on the warpath against Christian symbology. My real bone to pick, though, is with self-proclaimed atheists who are out there saying, I don't want to see Christian symbols. And I think these are people who are maybe not really certain about their atheism. They're still not sure. They haven't slipped the last of those chains, and looking at those symbols makes them uncomfortable. Well, if looking at Christian symbols makes you uncomfortable, deal with the uncomfortable part and don't go running around to everybody else and saying, you can't have this thing because it makes me uncomfortable. Because that's been the whole problem with political correctness. Nobody can do anything if there's any single individual on planet Earth that finds it offensive. And that's ridiculous. You can't live your life on your own terms without somebody finding something offensive about it. Simply because we've got way too many people in this planet whose entire sense of self-valuation is based on always finding things to be offended about. And most of those people are liberals. You cannot have freedom of speech without offending somebody, especially if you're exposing that somebody's lies and frauds and deception. So we need to basically take a different approach to offense. Somebody comes up and says, I'm offended. You say, go ahead, be offended. I don't care anymore. We've had enough of these whiners. Political correctness was really an attempt at cultural Marxism, getting us all to voluntarily surrender our individuality and our freedoms and our perspectives to comply with a designated model that was politically correct. Well, I'm politically incorrect, and I'm proud of it. And there's the music. It's time for us to shut down this show, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.